morning, good morning, good morning. It is good to be with you this morning for this devotional time together in God's Word. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. This is Psalm 105 Live. We are looking at Psalm 105 this morning, and I was reflecting on this, that Psalm 105 is another praise and thanksgiving psalm, very positive, very joyful, much like Psalms 103 and 104 that we looked at on Monday and then on Friday. And they kind of go together in that Psalm 103 really were praising and blessing the Lord for his benefits to us, right? For his redemptive grace in our lives. It's very much a rich gospel psalm and a psalm of praising God and forget not all his benefits, right? And he forgives all of our iniquity, and as far as the east is from the west, he separates our sins from us. So we're looking up to God and we're thankful for his redeeming grace. And in Psalm 104, we're looking around us at creation, and we're seeing that God, the same God who blesses us and redeems us, is the same God who rules over creation, over all things, with a little look back at the flood and his judgments, but it's a look around at creation to see the sustaining power of God. And now, Psalm 105, we're going to look back at redemptive history, and we're going to see that God has been faithful to keep his word and to redeem his people and to keep his covenant with his people, specifically looking at the Exodus redemptive event where God redeemed his people from Egypt. So it's a nice pattern for us to remember in our lives, that to praise God, to thank God, to bless the Lord. We look up to the Lord and we bless him for all of his benefits to us personally, for his saving grace, for his redeeming power. We look around at the created world and we see that God is faithfully upholding his creation and is sovereign over all. And we look back at redemptive history and we see how God has been faithful through the generations. So with that introduction, let's pray and then we'll dig into the text. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift of another day of life. You are the God who blesses us and sustains us. You are the God who is good to us, far better than we deserve. You are faithful in all of your ways. You are unfailing in your faithfulness to us. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless our time together this morning in Psalm 105. Would you please speak to us? Would you please write this word on our hearts? And would you please build us up in Christ? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 105. It's a bit of a long one, focusing primarily on the Exodus and the deliverance out of Egypt. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for a thousand generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance, when they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The Lord sent and released him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. They did not rebel against his words. He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die. The land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts through their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, young locusts without number, which devoured all the vegetation in their land and ate up the fruit of their ground. He struck down all the firstborn in the land, the firstborn, the first fruits of all their strength. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen on it. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed through the deserts like a river, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing, and he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is a wonderful psalm of praise. And as I said, it's looking back on God's faithfulness to previous generations. And that's what we need to do. You know, there are times in this life when we get discouraged, when we feel overwhelmed, when we are unsure exactly who to trust, who to believe. Things seem to be out of control. We don't know what the future is going to hold. We can be anxious. Boy, if you watch the news at all, it'll make you anxious. That's what they're trying to do. That's how they make their money. If you go on social media, it might make you angry or confused, right? Even if you just think about your own life, maybe some family situations that you're dealing with, maybe some personal conflicts that you have. And so where do we go for an anchor for our souls? Of course, we go to the Lord, right? We go to the Lord as the anchor of our souls. And book 4 of the Psalms has really been teaching us how to do that, how to come before God with worship and praise, how to really meditate on him, how to give thanks to him. And so the first word here is, oh, give thanks. And thanksgiving has been a theme throughout book 4 of the Psalter. And it's so important for us to give thanks to God. It acknowledges that we are needy and that we are dependent and that we are weak. It also acknowledges everything God has given us as an expression of his goodness and his love. And it reorients us to focus our hearts on him. And as I said, I love this sort of trio that you get in 103, 104, 105, because it trains us to look up to God and give thanks for his redeeming grace in our lives, look around at creation and give thanks to God for his sovereign rule over the created world, and then look back on God's redemptive history with his people, and particularly how he keeps his covenant. He keeps his covenant, and give thanks to him for his covenantal faithfulness to his people through the years. Looking back, even at church history, can be so encouraging. I teach online classes part-time, very part-time, on the side. And right now I'm teaching this book of Plymouth Plantation. And it's William Bradford, his account of the founding years of the Plymouth Plantation. The people came over on the Mayflower and getting established in the New World. And it's a very God-honoring book. It's the faith in God and his providence and the trust in him is very evident. But it's also a book that's full of reality, like conflict, wars, betrayal, double crossings, deceitful, hypocritical behavior. And so you see that people in the past had struggles. People in the past had things they had to overcome. I'm telling you, they're way, way harder than we've had to overcome, right? And yet God has been faithful. God has been faithful, and here we are. And so with Psalm 105, we're looking back in particular at the Exodus generation, but we're doing so with a purpose so that we can give thanks to God and see the missional call here in verse 1, that we can make known his deeds among the peoples, right? Among the peoples. There's a strong call that when we're giving thanks to God, we need to be declaring his praises among the nations of the earth, advancing his gospel, seeing his church grow to the ends of the earth. We're to sing to him, and we're to tell of his wondrous works. We're to glory in his holy name. And remember, the holy name of God is the way that he has disclosed himself to us, the way he's revealed himself to us through his word is his holy name. And his name is the Lord. And I made sure that we had the proper format here with the all caps for the Lord, because I want you to see that. That's the covenant name of the Lord, Yahweh. I am who I am, the God who is self-sufficient and unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who was and is to come, the Almighty. That is the Lord. Whenever you see that all caps Lord, you should immediately be thinking, he is Yahweh. He is I am who I am. He is the self-sufficient, eternally unchanging one. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. All of that is wrapped up in the Lord. And he keeps his covenant to his people. So remember the wondrous works he has done. And remember that he's done these wondrous works to remember his covenant for 1,000 generations. Generation upon generation, God keeps his covenant. In this case, we're looking back in particular on the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them the land of Canaan. You think about that. God made that covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob around the year 1900 to 1800 BC. And it was 450 years before that covenant promise came to fruition when Joshua led the tribes across the Jordan River into the promised land and they encircled Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. That was 450 years or more after God had made this covenant promise. Think about that. That's basically twice the lifetime of our nation since the Constitution, you know, really in 1787 to 2020, you know, 230 some years, or 1776, 250 years. But we've got 450 or more years of waiting, trusting in the Lord. But the Lord keeps his promise. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as First Peter tells us. It's, you know, as some count slowness, he is patient. He's patient with us. He made this promise to them when they were few in number. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. You may be part of a small church plant. You may be in a place where you think there's not much fruit to be seen, but do not despise the day of small beginnings, because our success and our future hope does not rely on our strength or our numbers or our resources. It relies on God keeping his covenant promises. And so God kept his covenant promises, and the first way he did that was by preserving his people, who were few in number, of little account, and sojourners. As they wandered from nation to nation, from kingdom to people, he protected them. He said, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. And then he sent them into Egypt. And this is where it gets a little bit tough to take, because it's a true account of what God does in saving his people. God sent Joseph into Egypt to be able to provide for his people. But that happened as Joseph was being made a slave. And so that is all part of God's plan. the pain, the struggle, the hardship, the times that we wish we didn't have to go through are all part of God's plan, and he's preparing for the future purposes that he has for his people. And then Joseph was released, right? And then the people were provided for. And then why didn't God just take them from there straight into the promised land? No. They had to sojourn in the land of Egypt. They had to sojourn in the land of Ham for a while. As God multiplied and grew his people, he then turned the hearts of the Egyptians to hate his people. So God not only saw to it that Joseph would be sold as a slave in irons and fetters, but he also saw to it that the Egyptians would turn against his people. And here the language is even more direct. He turned their hearts to hate his people. Yes, sometimes God is pleased to will that his people be persecuted, that his people be oppressed. Why? To test them, to see if we're going to trust his promises, to see if we are going to follow after him when things are difficult, or if we're only going to follow after him when it's all sunshine and roses. Is God your God on sunny days only, or is he your God on rainy days also? And then he sends Moses and Aaron, and they perform these miraculous signs. But imagine living in this. I love Psalm 105 because it kind of puts you in it, kind of puts you in these plagues. And you think, wow, there's a lot happening that would just be very traumatic. We think COVID-19 is bad and has made life difficult. Man, can you imagine living in Egypt during all of this? Waters turning to blood and fish dying and a land swarming with frogs and swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country and hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts and struck down the vines and the fig trees, shattered the trees of the country. Locusts came, locusts without number, devouring all the vegetation. And then the firstborn gets struck down. Finally, Egypt is like, get out, please leave. We don't want you here anymore. And that's how God was pleased to deliver his people. The pattern of God's dealing with his people is always deliverance through trial, is always deliverance through persecution, is always deliverance through hardship, right? The only way is through, right? It's an Under Armour commercial slogan, but it's God's way of dealing with his people too throughout. And so God leads them out and he provides for them and he gives them bread and he gives them quail and he gives them water and he remembers his holy promise and he brings his people out with joy. This is God. He is faithful. He is unfailing. We can trust him. He is the same God today. He has made covenant promises to us just as surely as he made to ancient Israel, that he will be our God and we will be his people. And one day he will take us to himself and there will be no more death, no more dying, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more loss, no more hurt, no more pain. For the former things will pass away, and behold, all things will be made new. We are heading for our promised land, and we may have been waiting for hundreds of years, but God will keep his promise. He will not fail. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being our unfailing God, for being the Father who loves us, for being the provider and protector of our lives. Oh Lord God, we look to you and we trust you. Help us to trust you more. Give us the faith and the courage to take what you have ordained and to endure it by your grace with faith, trusting in you. For you never fail. You are the anchor of our souls. You are the captain of our salvation. You are our faithful one. So we look to you and we ask that you give us words of praise and thanksgiving, an attitude and a heart of gratitude and joy today. For you are good and you are unfailing. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope Psalm 105 was an encouragement to you this morning. I know it was an encouragement to me. Friday morning, Lord willing, we will gather together for Psalm 106 and we'll continue to be encouraged by the Lord and blessed by him, we trust, as we look to his word. So I hope to see you Friday morning for Psalm 106. Have a blessed day in the Lord.